At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Professor Jim Shapiro, Columbia University. His new book is The Playbook, a story of theater democracy and the making of a culture war. Voodoo Macbeth, It Can't Happen Here. One-third of a nation, and Liberty Deferred to represent all the plays that were brought forward about lynching that were never produced. All of that is watched very carefully by the Dies Committee. The Dies Committee has a background, however, that's important to explore, because the payoff continues for many decades afterwards. This is the House Un-American Activities Committee. The original version of this, remember, this is a special in Congress. It has a finite writ and a budget, was by John McCormick of Massachusetts and a congressman named Dick Steen, I believe of New Jersey. Jim will correct me.
Brooklyn. I'm sorry, Lower Manhattan.
Lower Manhattan. Dick Steen of Lower Manhattan. And the trick here is that they were also setting up the idea of pursuing un-American activity. Were they successful, Jim?
Dick Steen, Samuel Dick Steen, panicked about the rise of Nazism. When you have rallies in Madison Square Garden, when you have thousands of neo-Nazis marching in New Jersey for a man who was the son of a Russian rabbi born in Russia who had emigrated to New York and taken over a house seat from Lower Manhattan, this was his obsession. Samuel Dick Steen was really intent on getting Congress to investigate Nazism. What was only discovered in fairly recent times was Dick Steen was also a spy for Russia, trying to take as much money as he could from that communist country, and Russia in turn hoping to infiltrate Congress. Samuel Dick Steen is a member of Congress who is spying for a foreign country who wants to run a House Special Committee. But because he's Jewish and foreign-born, McCormick of Massachusetts is asked to chair that committee, initial committee. And when the Dies Committee was established, it was largely because Dick Steen kept pushing and pushing for a new committee, a large-scale committee, and he was kept off that committee, and Martin Dies and others were put on instead.
And the discovery was the Venona transcript? Is that, that's how we found out?
We did. We only found out decades later that Dick Steen was taking money, and the Russians were very, the Soviets were very disappointed in the quality of information he provided. Dick Steen also was taking money from other foreign entities as well, but this never came out in his lifetime. So there are stories within stories in the playbook, and you really can't make this stuff up.
Dick Steen attaches himself to Dies Committee. So back to the Dies Committee. They've decided now to focus on the Federal Theater Program. Jim's reporting, Dies doesn't really know what he wants to do. He's asked for a $100,000 budget and going to hire investigators across the country. The House says, no, thank you, gives him $25,000. And maybe enough for two or three investigators. He does have access to the FBI. Whose idea is it to focus on the Federal Theater and not Hollywood? Because he tries Hollywood and he backs off.
He tries Hollywood, and Hollywood very cleverly treated him awfully nicely and treated Dies' family wonderfully. And Dies decided, you know what, I'm not going to do that. It would take another generation before McCarthy would go after Hollywood. Martin Dies was very fortunate that one of the members of his committee had found somebody who had been hired briefly by Federal One and insinuated herself into the Federal Theater, even though she was not employed by it, and had been given a job that allowed her to open and read Allie Flanagan's mail. Sure enough, she created or found or imagined enough incriminating information or stories and was put before the Dyes Committee. And Martin Dyes had no knowledge of Hazel Hoffman before this, but watching her testify, he realized, I have a winner here. And he decided not to let her be cross-examined, not to even ask what her actual relationship to the Federal Theater was, which was non-existent or almost so, and decided to break with every protocol that McCormick and others in their special committees had kept by allowing cross-examination, by insisting that evidence be challenged before Congress, and allowed a series of accusations to be made against the Federal Theater. Meanwhile, Hallie Flanagan's superiors up to Harry Hopkins said, this is just a sideshow. Do not respond. We're not going to allow you to respond. And after months and months of hammering, they realized we have made a mistake. In fact, FDR really discovered that he thought he could control somebody like Martin Dyes. And when he finally attacked Martin Dyes on the airways, Martin Dyes attacked him right back. And he knew he had gained a huge following. Gallup was just created as a polling site at this time. And Americans were asked, do you want the Martin Dyes show renewed? And overwhelmingly, three quarters of Americans who had heard of the Dyes report. And Dyes was on the radio every week or so and was reaching tens and hundreds of thousands of American households. They wanted that show renewed, and they got it.
Hallie Flanagan created the problem by being trusting and uncurious about Hazel Hoffman's offer to work for her for nothing. Hazel Hoffman came forward, and you describe her as matronly, came forward with a sweet presentation. I want to help you in the mailroom. So she works for Hallie Flanagan for about a month, I think you said, Jim, not very long, and then leaves suddenly. And she was in the WPA as a receptionist. Now, the detail here is that her husband was also receiving relief. And the rule in the 1930s was only one member of a family can receive relief. So Hazel Hoffman was careful to make it ambiguous whether she'd taken money or not. But she read her mail, and that gave her the credibility to say things that you couldn't disprove without looking at the mail. This isn't a digital age. And part of the testimony that Hazel Hoffman made, she was being led by the one, not Dyes, he wasn't there for all of it. She was being led by a man named Thomas from New Jersey, Parnell Thomas. Was she read the names of the plays and said, they're all communists. I'll read them to you and see if you can imagine how this sounds like communism. How Long, Brethren, New Masses, Revolt of the Beavers, Case Philip Lawrence, One Third of the Nation, Medicine, Power, Professor Monlock, I believe that's a revelation of a college. There's no communism in any of that. What did they think communism was, Jim?
I should say nobody on Dyes Committee had ever been to a Federal Theater play. So to choose a play based on its title is a dangerous thing. Revolt of the Beavers turned out to be a play in which actors dressed up as beavers and imagined a better world. And when the Dyes Committee attacked this play, Hallie Flanagan defended it by bringing in the responses children had written, such as, this play taught me it's better to be good than bad. It was embarrassing to me to read the congressional record on these exchanges. But Hazel Hoffman figured out that the committee wanted to hear that these plays were communistic, and that Hallie Flanagan, who had been to Russia, after all, in her investigation of European theater, was tainted by communism. Hallie Flanagan was as middle American as you can get. She was a mainstream FDR supporter, a progressive, we would say today, but she was far from a radical of any kind. And Hazel Hoffman was able to smear her without any challenge of any kind before the Dyess Committee.
Yes, and the newspapers, in a slow news month, it was hot, it was August, everybody's out of town, finally bit with Huffman accusing everybody of being a communist. The woman's obsessed. She's so good at it, though. I suspected she was an agent of someone, but it turns out, so far, she's not on the Venona transcripts, to my knowledge. Okay, not yet, anyway. The L.A. Times is the one I wrote down. Red Sway Theater Project committee told. That a conclusive headline in Los Angeles for Hazel Hoffman. I go now to how the Dyess Committee saw its work. But Dyess wants to advance himself. So he plays, as you say, he plays the media, because he knew at this time 85% of the papers in the country were against the New Deal. And he took on his own precedent. Did that surprise Roosevelt that Dyess was coming after him, saying that he was, what did he call, grossly misinformed? He accused FDR?
Dyess was a kind of genius. He understood and put together the playbook we now think of as timeless. In attacking progressive ideas and projects. You can draw a direct line between what Martin Dyess and his House Un-American Activities Committee did in 1938 to the decision of Ron DeSantis in June of 2024 to eliminate all funding for every cultural organization in the state of Florida, even though the legislature had just promised that money to those organizations. So I call the book The Playbook because it's not just about those 1,000 playbooks that entertained Americans in 29 states. It's about the playbook that now is opposed to culture and the arts in America. And Hazel Hoffman played a huge role in that. And it was very difficult for Hallie Flanagan to try to turn the tide.
She did testify, I believe, December of that year, and she exchanged, she dueled with them, thinking that that was enough. Was she an innocent, or did she know she was in trouble? Did she know that they were coming for her?
You know, I'm an academic, so I'm always sympathetic to academics. But she entered that room and thought it was a kind of shabby courtroom set. She didn't realize the political theater she was entering would be more consequential than the theatrical works, the theater she came from. And there were moments of high comedy in that hearing. Joe Starnes read aloud a passage she had written about something being Marlowe-esque. And he demanded to know, is that Christopher Marlowe a communist? We need to know. The room exploded in laughter. I think it was the lead in his obituary years later when Hallie Flanagan explained that Christopher Marlowe was the greatest playwright in Shakespeare's day next to Shakespeare. This was the nature of that exchange. And she failed to explain to the members of that committee how theater worked and why it was so essential to democracy. And it haunted her to her dying day.
The book is The Playbook, A Story of Theater, Democracy, and the Making of a Culture War. James Shapiro is the author. When we come back, Whatever Happened To?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets, with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.